We're very thankful that God has blessed us to be assembled and to worship him on this day and to acknowledge that he is God and he's God all by himself. And we thank all of you for your commitment to him and your commitment to Christ and allowing God to indwell us through the Holy Spirit and making sure that in our fellowship and in our communion with one another that we have a source of encouragement because of this wonderful fellowship. Those of you who are visiting with us know that you are honored guests. Appreciate your presence, and it's just a joy to have you here with us. We, this weekend, beginning on Friday, and I know Sunday begins a new week, but most of the time we look at Sunday as the conclusion of a weekend, but I want the church to realize that this weekend has been focused on personal evangelism, and we began on Friday considering why God exists as the singles focused on that topic, and was reassured of their belief in God. And on Saturday, understand that there was a great turnout for the share, and we received great information concerning our faith. This morning, I'm going to continue in the vein of the personal evangelism. My lesson is focused on the book that all of us received from Matthew Morin, and we look forward to reading this book through. My lesson this morning is going to be focused on chapter 1, and chapter 1 is entitled Christianity is a Blessing, Not a Burden. Christianity is a blessing and not a burden. Good to see Roosevelt and see Isaac here with us today. They're here from school, and they came right in working. And I wish I had some of that voice of Roosevelt. I tell you, I'd be some kind of powerful preacher, wouldn't I? Whoa! I tell you, anyway, God has blessed you, young man. He's really blessed you. In the book, under chapter 1, this is what Brother Morin says. He says, the reason some don't evangelize is because they are not even sure they are happy in the church. Most will say they enjoy being in Christ, but not the church. Many see being a member of the church like having to pay taxes. They pay their taxes because of the consequences if they don't pay them. But they fail to see the blessings of paying taxes. We have, because of our paying taxes, the best trained military in the world. The best maintained road system in the world. Clean water to drink. A postal system and many other benefits that come to us because of paying our taxes. But instead of us looking at the benefits, we dread having to pay the taxes. Attending worship service, Bible classes, and working in ministry, having to come on Sundays, some twice on Sunday, weekdays. Some find this to be a task of obligation, having to get up and be here, and be here on time is demanding. Many fail to see many fail to see how we are blessed and we are truly benefiting from our relationship with God and the wonderful, wonderful ministry that we are involved in. In the book, he used an illustration. He said, a first appearance of a coconut is not attractive. It's brown, hairy, pretty tough nut to crack. Makes it seem like it's useless, not a resource for us, very little value. But if you expend the energy and the effort, crack it open, you will be richly rewarded with a tasty treat, both nourishing and bountiful. You'll be able to cook a coconut cake, have coconut candy, coconut drinks, and even oils. Many of us fail to see Christianity as being a blessing. We focus on the burden of it. I want to go to 2 Corinthians 4, verses 1 through the end of that chapter. And I want to give an exposition of 2 Corinthians 4, verses 1 through the end of the chapter. This is the passage that was used in chapter 1 of the book. He used this passage of scripture to help us to see that Christianity is a blessing and not a burden. I know you didn't feel that way this morning when you had to get up an extra hour early. It seemed like a burden, but I want you to know that wasn't God who did that. Man did that. And man just leave God's creation alone. But anyway, I'll leave that alone. But what I want to do with 2 Corinthians 4, verse 1 through the end of the chapter, I want to divide it into four categories. I want to look at ministry. I want us to look at the message. I want us to look at the administrator, who is God, and then I want us to look at the messenger. I believe that these are the four emphases of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 through the end of that chapter. Now, the background of 2 Corinthians is the Apostle Paul, who has come under criticism, and many are seeking to discredit his ministry. So, in the midst of this criticism, he is giving his apology. He is sharing with you how that is not a burden to him, but it's really a blessing that has come out of the criticism and out of all of the people who seek to undermine his ministry. It's a blessing. Why is it a blessing? It's a blessing because of this ministry. Why is it a blessing? Because of the message. Why is it a blessing? Because of God and what he is doing. Why is it a blessing? Because of the messenger who carries this great gospel. Now I want you to follow me, because in verse number 1, here's what he says. Therefore, seeing we, not me, but we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. The emphasis here is this ministry. You and I need to understand, when we become Christians, We wear the name of Christ. And not only do we wear the name of Christ, but we accept the mission of Christ. And in accepting the mission of Christ, we also embrace servanthood. It's amazing when you think in terms of this ministry that you and I are part of, how you view it. Many people don't realize that he never promised us that this ministry was going to be easy. He never promised us that it would be without stumbling blocks. He never promised us that we wouldn't get weary in this ministry. In other words, what he really tried to get us to see is that if you want to follow me in this ministry, if you want to take up my mission, you need to do some self-evaluation, self-examination. He will go on record in saying to those who say, I want to follow you in this ministry, and he will say this. He say, the foxes have holes, the birds have nests, but the Son of Man had not where to lay his head. What are you doing, Jesus? I'm telling you, that is not an easy road. It's not an easy ministry. Jesus will go on record in saying in Luke the 14th chapter, he will tell them how that before a man would build a tower, he should first count up the cost. He is simply saying to us, when you accept this ministry, you better count up the cost, because there is a tremendous cost that comes with serving me and serving in the ministry of Jesus Christ. Jesus would go on record in telling them, if you love father, mother, sister, brother more than me, and even your own self more than me, you cannot be my disciple. He is simply saying to us that this ministry comes with a tremendous sacrifice. Our ministry, ladies and gentlemen, though it may seem to be a burden, he saw it as a blessing. And he saw it as a blessing because he said, I don't come to you in dishonesty. I don't come to you in deceitfulness. I don't come to you in ways that men come to you with hidden agendas. Everybody who has a ministry, they may promote it one way, say that this is what you will be able to reap and benefit by going and being a part. But I want you to know that when you take up the ministry of Jesus and you hear what that mission has no hidden agendas. That mission is authentic. And Jesus' promises and his commands of us are to be taken at face value. Everything about this ministry can stand public opinion. It can, public scrutiny. And you can look at it and you'll be able to see that it is exactly what God has called it to be. Now, I don't know about some of these other missions that some of these politicians are pushing. You can't put a lot of value in what they say because you really don't know what is behind what they're saying. But I'm here to tell us that when we become part of the mission and the ministry of Christ, it is exactly what God has said that it is to be. And I want you to feel good about it. Though it is a burden, yet it is a blessing. Focus on the blessing and not the burden. Well, secondly, here's what he says in verse number 3. He said, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. So what Paul is trying to show you is that when you get to the message, hear what you need to understand about the message. Everybody is not going to receive the message. Everybody is not going to believe the message. He is saying to you that don't expect people to flock to the message. Don't expect people to be overwhelmingly accepting of what you are advocating in the mission and the ministry of Jesus Christ. People, ladies and gentlemen, are being blinded by the devil. The devil is an avid, he is one who is seeking to fight against God, fight against what God is trying to do in saving the world. And so what he'll do, he'll blind you. He will put cataracts over your eyes. When you hear the word of God, he will cause you to question what the word of God says. But he said, don't worry about that. Those who are willing to listen to the devil and be veiled by the devil's lies, those are the people who are perishing. But to those of us who believe and obey the gospel, we are the ones, ladies and gentlemen, who are being saved every day by this message. And this message is never to be compromised. Not only will people not accept it, but we will not compromise the gospel. Here's what you see. Notice he says in Romans chapter 12 and verse number 2, he said, be not conformed to this world, but be ye what? Transformed by the what? Renewing your mind, that ye may prove what is that what? Good and acceptable and perfect will of God. When you preach the message, never allow that message to come under compromise simply because people don't respond the way we think they ought to respond. Don't water down the message. Don't try to make it palatable for individuals. Well, if I say this, they may not accept it. If I emphasize this, they may become discouraged. No, you have to know that the power is in the message, and leave the message as God has given it to us. You know, when you think in terms of many leaders of congregations, when people are not attracted and not attending, the tendency is, what do we need to do in order to get more people to come? What is it that we need to do in order to entice more people where they feel comfortable in the church? I believe that you're looking from the wrong perspective. Never look at the message of Christ from the hearer's standpoint. You have to look at it from the standpoint of the one who gave you the message. And don't worry about the hearer of the message. If he does not accept it, you keep the message as God has given it to us. And we, as members of the churches of Christ, we are experiencing quite a bit of decline in our numbers. And the reason is because of the message. And the message, ladies and gentlemen, is narrow. And everyone who accepts truth must understand the truth is narrow. God has never allowed truth to be broad where it's how you think and how you feel. No, it's the way God intended it to be. And so as we go out to exercise and be involved in ministry, make sure that we never compromise the message. Now I want to read one more passage to you where Paul says to the Galatian brethren, he said, I marvel that you're so soon removed from him who called you unto the gospel of Christ, unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that will trouble you and will pervert the gospel of Christ. But here's what he says, but though we are an angel from heaven, notice what he says, if an angel comes down from heaven and preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, he said, let him be accursed. Do you know what that means, let him be accursed? I'm just going to tell you, it simply means let him go to damnation. Let him go to hell. Amen. 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 Didn't sound good, but it's not a good place to go. That's why it didn't sound good. But never change the message of God. And when you do that, but notice the next point. And that is when he speaks in terms of the sixth verse. He says, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Here's what he's doing. He's focusing our attention on God now. Who is the administrator of this ministry and this message? What does he say? He says, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness. Go back to the beginning. How did light come into being? God commanded the light. God said, let there be light, and there was light. This world, if it were not for light, we would stumble in darkness. But God wants you to see the beauty of his creation. He wants you to see the mountains. He wants you to see the ocean and the stream. He wants you to see the flowers. He wants you to see all of the beautiful things that he has made. So therefore, he has cast light on this earth. Thank God for the light, for the glory of God is seen in the light. But notice now, what he is saying to us is that that same God who brought physical light into the world is the one who is bringing spiritual light into the world. Guess what that light is? Go with me to John 1:1 and watch what the Bible says. The Bible says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Now here it is. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness. The light does what? Shines in darkness, and the darkness, what? Comprehended it not. Go back to the text in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse number 6. Notice where he is shining the light. The light has shined in our hearts. In this text, you see that in creation, he shined it in the world. Light came on the world. But when it comes to conversion, what God is doing, he is shining his light in the heart of a man, in the mind of a man. He is illuminating a man's mind that a man might be able to see and experience and know what is and what is not, able to make evaluations on things, able to determine what's right and what's wrong. Amen. God, this is a benefit. When you come into Christ and you accept the Word of God, God gives you the ability to be able to know what's good and what is not good, what is right and what is not right. That only comes when you accept the knowledge of Jesus Christ in your life. Now, I tell you something. The natural man will not receive the light. That's why it's good for you not, when you think in terms of being in fellowship one with another, people who don't have Christ don't see things the same way as you see them. They don't put the same value on the things that you say. Say it again, Brother Gibbs. People of the world, people who are stumbling in darkness, do not see things as a Christian sees things. Why? Because the darkness has, the devil has blinded them, veiled them, where they are unable to experience and understand the spiritual things of life. But the value of us being Christians and the benefit of us being Christians, the blessing of being a Christian, is that I know because of the light of the gospel. Someone asked Brother Gibbs, well, Brother Gibbs, what about the origin of all things? I already know. Why? Because the light of the gospel has given me that answer. In Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. I don't have to ask anybody, how did this world begin? You don't have to spend billions of dollars going all out into space. All you need to do is go to Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. If you just know that God has given us the answer, he has shined the light in our hearts, you say, well, Brother Gibbs, what's the difference between a man and an animal? Well, I'll tell you what the difference is. It's right there in the book, Genesis 2 and verse number 7. God, when he made man, took the dust of the ground, formed man in his own image, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. He didn't do that to a dog. He didn't do that to the fish. He didn't do that to the birds of the air. Man is in the image of God. Don't ever put the value of an animal on the same as the value of a man. Why? Because God has given me the ability to make the right evaluation. Am I right about it? I also know from the light that God gives me that I am not just flesh. I am body, soul, and spirit. I know that. And I also know that when this body goes back to the earth, my spirit goes back to the God who gave it. How do I know? Because the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ, based on Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse number 7, God has told me, this goes to the dust. My spirit goes back to heaven. Ask, what is my purpose in life? The light of the gospel tells me what my purpose is in life. Ecclesiastes 12 and verse number 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man.
I already know. Someone said, well, Brother Gibbs, how important is the church to me? It's in the book. It's in the Bible. Am I right about it? Amen. Everything about life and death, eternal life, is right there in the book. And when you study it, and I'm closing on this point, and I'm moving to my last point, you have to know that everything that you do in your marriage, in your vocation, if you put God's word above the words of men, you will have a better marriage. You will be able to function in your vocation a lot better. Why? Because God's will, God's word, God's wisdom is applied in all of those areas. Reason some of us are having problems in our home is because you're listening to your own mind and your own heart, and you're listening to your mama, and you're listening to your daddy, and you're listening to your girlfriend and your boyfriend. You ought to listen to God and let God shine some light on that thing. Good preaching, Brother Gibbs. All right. But anyway, all right, somebody told me not to do that. But that's the truth. That's the truth. All right. Well, in my last point, and this is a beautiful point. This is a beautiful point. Now, I want you to watch this. In verse number 7, he says, but we have this treasure in what? In what kind of vessels? All right, in earthen vessels. Now, here's what I want you to see. The treasure is eternal. The vessel is earthen. The earthen vessel is us. The treasure is the gospel, the ministry, the message. God is saying that our ministry and our message is in this clay, earthen vessel. When you see the gospel, that is eternal. Word of God is eternal. But Paul, is an earthen vessel. We are subject to decay. We are temporal. Our bodies are young, middle-aged, then they get old. Am I right about it? In our bodies go through sickness. Our bodies are vulnerable to everything in this world. When there is a tornado, it'll hit your house as well as everybody else's house. You can say, well, Lord, I'm a Christian. I'm trying to show you. He's trying to tell you that what we have is in earthen vessels, and what we have to realize is that things are not going to always go the way we want them to go with our bodies. But the beautiful thing is that nobody, hear this well, nobody will be able to really have full understanding of the eternal unless we who are in clay pots, in clay vessels, tell them. God is not going to come down here and tell them, this old earthen vessel must take the ministry, must take the message, tell the message. In the midst of going through tribulation, going through trial, the word of God must come out of this earthen vessel. Amen, walls and light. Well, someone said, well, Brother Gibbs, I just believe. I've heard this said by many people. They say, well, Brother Gibbs, you know, I just think that when somebody's preaching, they ought to hide behind the cross. There ain't no way, say it again, there ain't no way that a preacher can hide behind the cross. No, 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 no. Sing, but hide behind the cross. You can't sing and hide behind the cross. Now, I know you say, well, Brother Gibbs, I don't understand it. No, 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 no. What God wants is in the midst of you and you and what you're going through. The cross must come forward. The cross must be seen. If folk don't see the cross in me, I sure can't hide behind it. Am I right about it? Now, I'm going to show you. Now, I'm almost through. Roosevelt, you cannot hide behind the cross. But the cross can come through you. Now watch this. I'm going to finish this. He says, we are troubled on every side. Now I'm going to show you. That is the burden. Trouble on every side, yet not distressed. That's the blessing. When you're a Christian, you may have trouble, but the blessing comes that it doesn't distress me. In the body, we are perplexed, but not in despair. In the body, the flesh, I'm perplexed, burdened. But the glory is that I'm not in despair in the midst of this. Then he says, persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Persecute this body, but yet in the midst of the persecution, I know I'm not forsaken. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Am I right about it? I can be troubled on every side, but when the cross and the message is in me, it still is seen in my life. Some people, when trouble comes, they forsake their calling. They forsake their ministry. They forsake the message. But Paul is letting them know that that'll never happen to me. Then watch what he does. He says in verse number 11, he says this. Well, let me go on. I know time is getting away from me. But watch this now. In verse number 10, he says, always, watch this. Always what? Bearing what? About where? Notice, bearing about where? Where? The what? Dying of the Lord Jesus Christ. That the what? Come on, that the what? That the life also of Jesus might be what? So, that's what it is. That's why I say you can't hide behind the cross. No, the cross must come through you, and folk must be able to see it. Someone said, well, Brother Gibbs, I'm having to wrestle with this virus. God ain't told you you're not going to catch that. No. If it becomes a pandemic, it's going to hit all of us. But the question is, what you going to do? Are you going to blame God and say, God, you should have protected me? God is saying, no, I'm not going to protect you all through what you think I ought to. But I do expect this, that in the midst of what you're going through, that the cross must be seen. Jesus must be seen in the midst of what you're going through. And then as I close, listen what he says. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be what? Made what? Manifest in our what kind of flesh? Mortal flesh. So then what? Death worketh where? In us. But what? Life in you. Now Paul is simply making it personal now. He is simply saying that I know that I'm going through persecution. I know that I'm being misrepresented throughout the world. But I want you to know that though death worketh in us, but the life of you, life in you is what he says. But then watch this last part. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore I have spoken. We also what? Believe, and therefore what? Speak, knowing that he that what? Raised up the Lord Jesus shall what? Raise up us also by Jesus Christ, shall present us with you. For all things are for what? Your sake. That the abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, redound to the glory of God. Now here's the ending. For which cause we faint not, though our what? outward man does what? Perish. Yet the inward man is what? Being what? Renewed how? Day by day. For our what kind of affliction? Our light affliction, which is but for a what? Moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. The comparison here is that in this life is short. Brother Phillips today turned 91 years old. Isn't that a blessing? But if you ask Brother Phillips about 91 years, I'm sure he would tell you that it's short. I don't believe someone said, well, that's a long time. No. If you live to be 300 years old, it still could never be compared to eternity. And what God is trying to show us is that you go ahead and suffer in this life, but it's only for a moment. And it's a light affliction. But God has a more exceeding eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are what? Seen. But at the things which are what? Not seen. For the things which are what? Seen are what? Temporal. But the things which are what? Not seen are eternal. Well, I pray that you know that Christianity is a blessing and not a burden. It's the benefit that we get from it that causes us to have the blessing. And then I want to share a story with you. A preacher announced a special men's meeting in his church. And he proposed to give the men a chance to air out their objections to Christianity. Over 1,200 men were present. The first objector said this: church members are no better than others. Another one said, the ministers are no good. So the objections were mentioned one after the other. The preacher wrote them all down on a piece of paper. Another one was, hypocrites in the church. Another one, church is a rich man's club. Another one, Christians don't believe the Bible anymore. There were 27 objections to Christianity in all. When they were finished, the preacher read off all those that were on the list. Then he tossed the list aside, saying, friends, you have objected to the preachers, the church members, the Bible, but you have not said one word against my master. He said, not one word against my master. In a few words, he preached Christ to them as the faultless one and invited them to believe on him and come to him. 49 men responded to the invitation. That's because you'll find fault with this old clay pot, but you'll never find fault with the eternal message and the eternal messenger who is Jesus Christ. And so as we go forward, see Christianity as a blessing, not a burden. Can't nobody, no religion, have one who is a founder like Jesus Christ. Christianity is a blessing and it's not a burden. If you want this kind of blessing, you're going to have to hear the gospel. Believe it with all of your heart. Repent of your sin. Confess Christ to be the Son of God. Buried with him in the water grave of baptism, which is for the remission of sin. And when you come up, all your sins will be washed away, and you'll become a brand new creature in Christ. And if you live faithful unto death, he will give you a crown that fadeth not away. This is a blessing. Only by giving your life to Christ and adhering to what he says through the illumination of his word will you really see the blessing that God has. I pray that you'll come. Come right now while together we stand and sing, Will You Come?
Number 736. There's a call comes ringing on the restless way, send the light. send the light. There are souls to rescue. There are souls to save. Send the light. Send the light. Send the light. The blessed gospel light. Let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine forevermore. We have heard the Macedonian call today. Send the light, send the light. And a golden offering at the cross we lay. Send the light, send the light. Send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine forevermore. Let us